From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. Food can act as a bridge. It can bring people together, and it can also be a barrier, especially when food limitations cause conflict in your life. Author Jamie Truppe has been on a food journey since she moved back to Idaho to Ketchum in her early 20s. As she went from being lactose intolerant to vegetarian to vegan, she also became a wife and a mom. She dealt with career changes as well as travel and death, and she's written about all of it in her new food memoir, Clean Food, Messy Life, A Food Lover's Conscious Journey Back to Self. And Truppe will be at Rediscovered Books Read Local Gathering at the Boise Town Square Mall this Friday, and she's joining us now. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So, as we mentioned, you grew up in Idaho. You grew up in the Frank Church River of No Return Wilderness, correct?
I did part-time. My family had a backcountry ranch, and we also lived in Boise during the school year. So we went to school there in elementary until we moved out of state.
So when you did move away, Jamie, how long were you gone from Idaho, and why did you decide to come back?
We left when I was 7 years old, and we moved around a lot to both Reno, Nevada, and up in the Seattle area. And it was my parents' decision, right? Economics and all the things that we have to deal with as parents. But I never actually felt like I left Idaho, because we had the ranch still in our family until I was a teenager. So we came back frequently, and my mom's family is from here. I'm sixth generation Idahoan, so we came back a lot. And you know, when you're raised somewhere, it always feels like home. So even though I left, and honestly, I was a little afraid to tell people I was from Idaho, because no one understood how beautiful and amazing the state is. But once I came back in my 20s, on a whim and partially by accident, I couldn't believe how beautiful Idaho felt and how at home I felt. And so it just reignited this love for my home state and brought me closer to my heritage, as well as nature that abounds here in such diverse ways. And it's when I started coming back into my own person. You know, we get lost as teenagers and early 20s. So it always felt like home in a way. I just didn't know it, if that makes sense.
It does. So when you moved back to Ketchum, this is kind of, I think, maybe when some of your food journey started. Can you tell us about when you figured out you were lactose intolerant, because you found out in a kind of interesting way?
Exactly. So that's the prologue of the book, is a little snapshot into that realization. I was attending the Sun Valley Wellness Festival, which still is ongoing. And I was there as a volunteer, obviously interested in wellness, but more about getting out of work and seeing what my boss was into, because she was a supporter of the Wellness Festival. And I was there as a volunteer. So I kind of just had to pop into whatever session I could based on my work schedule. And I was in this medical intuitive session. I looked around the room. I was at the back of the room as a volunteer. And I was like, wow, everyone's so much older than me. And it gave me the sense of what a privileged place this valley is, and also the festival itself. How many people can take all that time off and to attend a wellness festival? And what did they want? And I had this feeling that I was supposed to be there, but I didn't know why. And I was skeptical about the medical intuitive. She was the speaker. I was like, what does that even mean? I don't get it. But I'm always really curious to learn about people and how they show up in the world, and what can I learn from them? And that curiosity was absolutely there. And at the end of the talk, and this woman starts talking about how she can read people's auras, and it just came to her as an adult. She was with a client. She read this aura. It kind of surprised her. She didn't understand it. So she went on her own journey to understanding this energy work that she was doing. And you can't help but believe people and trust that it's real, even if you don't get it. So at the end of the session, I was like, I've got to buy her book. I really need to know more about this whole intuition thing. I didn't trust myself or my decisions at that time in my life. I was in my early 20s. And when she was signing my book, she looked up at me from the table and she's like, oh, wow, your aura is the easiest to read in this entire room. And I was like, oh, wow, really? What's it saying? And she said, you're lactose intolerant. And I didn't even know what that meant. I mean, remember, this is I'm dating myself, but I'm 45, so I was 22-ish. So quite a bit before we had the access to this information anywhere, really, except our local libraries. And she suggested I give up dairy for a few weeks to see how I felt. And I could not fathom the idea of that. So obviously, the book goes on to talk about how I made the decision to try it out, right? That curiosity and what can I learn piece came back into play there. And it was actually harder than I expected, not because I wasn't committed, but because I didn't have the knowledge of what I could eat instead, right? Mm. How do I change my habits to actually accomplish this goal, this food goal? And then on top of that, what am I looking for in my body? What does she mean? Notice how I change, notice how I feel different. What does that even mean? Right. So it was a, that in itself was a journey. I could probably write a whole book about just that. Right.
Right. So I want to talk too about what you call food inflexibility. And you said, you say that this ended up spoiling a lot of life events. Talk a little bit about that and explain that to us.
Sure. Yes. So people who have known me in the last decade and a half could probably come up with multiple stories on their own of how I caused some challenges. But essentially, I have been so certain of my food values and the way food makes me feel. Again, this is many years after the lactose intolerance experiment, when I started to understand how different foods affected my energy, my brain capacity, my ability to show up as myself rather than feel dragged down and then compensate with, you know, sugar or caffeine or one of the many things that we rely on in our culture. And I liked how I felt, and I liked how clear-minded I was. And yet energetically, I could not bring myself to be flexible for other people's desires or needs. So we'd go out to eat, let's say, in a restaurant that had quote unquote, no food that I could eat. And I said that multiple times. It's like, there's nothing on the menu for me. And beyond not being able to eat meat, let's say this was my vegetarian stage and not the full on vegan, but beyond not being able to eat meat, even the salads have meat on them and all these meat possibilities and or options. But I also had realized that quality of food matters. So I'm a nature lover, a tree hugger, if you will. And I really believe that nature gives us all of what we need. All of the gifts from Mother Earth provide us with the nutrients we need to grow and thrive. We're extensions of nature. And I felt that really deeply, even before I had words for that. I would put the words on like, well, it's, you know, man-made or grown on a, you know, monoculture farm, or it's got pesticides. And I used the words I was learning as I was reading, but what it came down to is this doesn't feel natural. And I can sense that in my body. I mean, there were certain foods laden with preservatives or certain oils that would actually make me physically ill. And I was pretty tuned into that. I wonder if it was a mental component, if there's a mental component, because there often is. And so I became kind of a pain in the butt to go out to eat with, and people stopped inviting me because I would drag everyone down when I would get sad and frustrated that I couldn't be a part of what of their life, essentially. So I ostracized myself on accident. At the same time, I also found some people in some places that made me feel alive and whole. And like, then the challenge was, I want everything on the menu. And and other people would not be interested in eating those types of foods, or they would come sometimes just to be around and check it out themselves. But there were many instances. I only wrote about a few of them in the book, but I say things often and still that make people feel defensive. Like just this past weekend at my son's hockey tournament, I found out some of the things that parents were feeding their children pregame, like Mountain Dew and coffee to young athletes. And I was appalled. And literally I said, I don't have the words for this. So I've learned to not be so critical, but in my mind,
Jamie,
I can't understand.
And I have to cut you off. We are out of time, but thank you so much. We've been talking with Jamie Truppi. She's an Idaho author and functional nutritionist. She will be at Rediscover Books Read Local Gathering at the Boise Town Square Mall this Friday at 6 p.m. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is Chip Brantley, co-host of the NPR podcast White Lies. Before we found the man in Vancouver, before we sued the State Department, before we snuck into the graveyard of a federal penitentiary, all we had were the photographs. Photographs of a group of Cuban men standing on the roof of a prison in rural Alabama. That's this season on the NPR podcast, White Lies.